Guardians. This is your host, Dr. Carletta D. Washington, Education for All shows radio show, excuse me, Education for All radio show's goal is to focus on parenting and education topics in order to help parents to build stronger family relationships and prepare their children for academic success. Special thanks to our individual sponsors, Eddie and Maxine Jordan Jr. We also continue to extend our condolences to the Jordan family, as well as one of our callers, Mr. Robert Jackson. We also wanted to give thanks to our corporate sponsor, Mr. Willie Moore Jr. He is a recording artist, a TV personality, and also the host of the syndicated Nightly Spirit, a gospel radio program, which can be heard on Hallelujah 1600 Radio. He's the founder of the Young Fly and Save movement, and I would like for you to visit his website, www.williemoorejr.org. That's WILLIEMOOREJR.org. So you can learn more about Mr. Moore and his efforts with young people and in the community. Also, if you have a product or a service that you would like to promote for parents and families, or if you'd like to become a program sponsor, please contact me, Carletta, at educationforallinc.com. And then also for our resources, programs, scholarships, and our Involved Parent magazine, please visit the website at www.educationforallinc.com. And we have an upcoming event. It is a parent meetup, which will take place on Saturday, November the 14th. From 3 to 5 p.m. here in St. Louis, Missouri. It is at the CIC at CET building, which is located at 20 South Sarah. That's at the corner of Sarah and Forest Park, right across from IKEA. So for those of you who have gone to IKEA like I have, yay, then you know exactly where the building is located. It's going to be a day of fun for parents. What I'm doing is featuring a book, the first edition of my book called A Mother's Reflection, Protecting Your Children from Harmful Influences. It's a handbook and journal, and I will be teaching through some of the material that's in there. The book will also be available for purchase, and because there are some updates, then I want to make sure that you know the book will be offered at a discounted rate for anyone who is interested in purchasing books after the meetup. There is a cost, and all the information is on the website. However, I can say that with this program, it is guaranteed to be fun for parents of kids of all ages. We're looking particularly for middle and high school parents, but if you have elementary or even preschool, it's never too early to get in on learning about who to allow in your child's village. And that includes social media. Where the attire is casual and refreshments will be included. And if you have a business and you'd like to be a sponsor for the program, please feel free to contact me, or if you'd like to volunteer any services that you have that you feel relate to who should be in your child's village, which is the topic of the presentation, feel free to contact me as well. All the information is on our website at www.education4allinc.com. Also, while you're on our website, we have updated the website as of today. The updates are finished. We are going to go through a quick change with the logo, keeping it mostly the same, just revising a little bit with removing the words home, school, work, and community. But we would love for you to visit the website, look at our home page, our about page, our services. We have a page for just the parent meetups. We're going to do parent meetups on almost a monthly basis. We have several planned out at this point, and so each time that we're having a meetup, or for each upcoming meetup, rather, you can go to our meetups page and find that information and registration information on the website as well. We also have the radio page highlighted. We have a page for the magazine, and then sponsorship. If you would like to any of our program activities, our radio, our parent magazine, please feel free to contact me. And then we have our contact page and our social media. Also, one last thing on the website, we do want to let you know that there is a change in some of the programming. We're focusing mostly on stress reduction, college scholarships and preparation, and then also navigating your finances. And we will have one last update, which will be on November 1st. Our parent magazine will be out, the next issue of Involve Parent Magazine for the 2015-2016 academic year. And we're really excited about that. Again, we have a new format. Some of you have already seen it. The new format is on the website. We republished and redebuted volume four, number one on the website. So you can take a peek at that by going on our magazine tab and seeing that magazine and seeing what the cover looks like and everything, and then reading some of the articles. And then definitely read those articles, because new ones will be out on November 1st. And speaking of articles, we have our writer, Ms. Billy Matthews. She is in STEM education. She does professional development, curriculum development, and also she's doing some workshops. She has an upcoming workshop that she will be presenting at. And so it's an honor to have her on the show to talk about STEM education, the many languages of STEM education. And regardless of the age of your child, know that STEM education is becoming very popular. It's a very popular topic across the country, in particular the U.S. And this is just going back to when Sputnik came out, and the U.S., you had that fight for Americans, you know, getting a man on the moon and so forth. And that just has not died out. That's been around since Kennedy administration and maybe even before. And so we see that STEM education, science, technology, engineering, and math is just taken off at an increasing rate in terms of awareness. And when we talk about young ladies and minority students in particular, this is something that people are really pushing for. And it's taken off in all the schools at all grade levels. So without further ado, let me have our guest come on. She can speak more more about our topic, STEM education, and really help to articulate what STEM education encompasses. And then also I want to let you know we will be accepting questions. So throughout the show, if you have a question, just press 1, or if you're listening through your smartphone or your tablet, please be sure that you dial in. Feel free to dial 646-595-4481. And press the number 1 so that we know you have a question or a comment for our guest. So, again, our guest is Ms. Billy Matthews. She's one of the Involved Parent writers, and I really appreciate her being on today's show. So thank you, Billy, and welcome. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Carletta. I'm really excited to be here. And I wanted to give you, the listeners, a little bit of background about who I am and where I'm from. I think I'm probably one of the few people that work with your organization that from the western part of the United States. And I actually live in a place called Albuquerque, New Mexico. And we're south of Colorado, and we're east of Arizona and west of Texas. We share a border with, get confused a lot, with not being a state. But we were actually the 47th state in the United States, and we didn't become state until 1912. The state we live in has a little bit more than 2 million people living in our state. I currently live in a city called Albuquerque, and we are the most populous city in New Mexico. We have city population of a little bit over 500,000 people. We are the 32nd largest city in the U.S.
Wow.
So, you know, it's just, we have a beautiful state. So any of you ever wanting to see a little bit about what happens in New Mexico, and especially in Albuquerque, you visit www.visitalbuquerque.org, and you spell Albuquerque, A-L-B-U-Q-U-R-Q-U-E. In addition
wow.
to that, wanted to share with you that I teach in a district called Albuquerque Public Schools. We are the largest
mm-hmm.
district in New Mexico and one of the larger districts in the whole United States. So the public
mm.
schools in the state were founded in 1891. As I said, we are the largest of 89 public school districts in the state of New Mexico. We have 139 schools in our district and approximately 95,000 students.
Oh, wow.
So, as I said, it's one of the largest school districts in the United States. We have 89 elementary, 27 middle schools, 13 high schools, and 10 alternative schools. So if anybody wants
mm-hmm.
to check that out, www.ats.edu. I teach at a school called Barcelona Elementary. Our population is about 540. We are in a location in the Albuquerque metro area called the South Valley, and we
mm-hmm.
are predominantly Hispanic and very low-income area of the city, a place where the median income is approximately $36,000 per family. So that
mm.
puts us in a place where our students, are not coming to school with as much as some other students in our city. The
mm.
area where I live is 82% predominantly Hispanic. So, and as you mentioned, I'm going to be speaking on November 6th at a conference, and it's called the Center for the Education of Special and Diverse Populations, and
uh-huh.
it is housed at New Mexico Highlands University. So if you're interested in checking out what we do, it's www.cesvt.nmhu.edu. And so I will be speaking at the Family Institute.
And, you know, Billy, what I like about you giving all those statistics, sometimes people wonder, well, why do I have to hear all of that? But, you know, when you think about for those who are not necessarily that familiar with Albuquerque, you know, I think that, well, it's small. I mean, a lot of the statistics you were reading off, it sounds like a lot of the districts here, you know, in St. Louis, Missouri. So it just shows that education, you know, the schools are large. I mean, when you talk about elementary at 500, you know, many people at one point never experienced a school that large, but schools are so large today. But let's talk about the STEM education in the time that we have left. What is STEM? And then also, why is it so important? You know, I know with the population you have, and that's what most, you know, many public schools are facing anyway, particularly those who may be underperforming or not performing as well. STEM is such a big push for their curriculum. So can you give us some more insight on that? What is STEM and how is that important where you are? What do you think that means for the rest of us?
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I am actually the site coordinator in my district for an organization called West Side STEM Trajectory. And so our mission is that we are the fusion of science, technology, engineering, mathematics with project-based learning utilizing partnerships within the school district and the global community. And so from that, we draw off of the need where young people should be prepared to think deeply and how to think well. And
mm-hmm.
to have the chance to become innovators and educators and researchers and leaders who can solve some of the big problems and challenges facing our nation right now. But right now, you know, not enough, we feel that not enough of our youth have had access to quality STEM learning opportunities. So that's why I jumped at this opportunity to do that.
Okay.
We see the boards for the careers. And so, you know, as President Obama very clearly has articulated, that his priority for STEM education is that American students need to move from, like, the middle to the top of science and math. And administration has worked towards the goal of fairness between places where there's an equitable distribution of quality STEM programs. And is, and that comes from the Committee on STEM Education, is there are 13 agencies that are including all the mission and science agencies through the Department of Education. So what they are doing is they're facilitating a cohesive national strategy so that the funds get distributed evenly. So through this, you know, it comes down to supporting teachers and students through STEM. And unfortunately, you know, we know that, you know, that money is really hard to come by in education these days. And so, you know, it's through initiatives like this when we can get funded that, that you know, we take advantage of STEM. You know, we talk about No Child Left Behind and and Race to the Top. And so these are, these are, you know, STEM is one way to help us bridge those gaps. We know that, you know, the thing about learning is that students, you know, have been learning through textbooks a lot. So in STEM, we bring in the agencies like the Navy, NASA, different agencies like that to help us facilitate the learning through STEM. And, you know, one of the things is, especially in our population, the STEM programs are supported largely by our Hispanic-serving institutions because that's our population here. And I know that it is a similar, you know, similar throughout the United States for students of diversity, regardless of whether what their ethnic background is. So, you know, STEM has been, you know, a good way to do that. Also, we talk about the next generation science standards, and I know that this is more of a teacher-focused, you know, area, but that means that we're taking Common Core state standards, which we've heard a lot about, and then using those with next generation so that the kids, the students are you know, it's part of the reform, which is leading up to a better education for our students in STEM. A lot of the, you know, it's been a great emphasis on reading. And so I feel that the sciences have maybe digressed a little bit because of that. And so STEM helps us get that, you know, charged up and going. You gave a little bit of background.
That's what I want to mention, because as a former English teacher, and I taught at a STEM high school, the students' writing was low. And I agree with you. We, in education, we put emphasis on one area, and then we leave other areas off. And one of the areas that suffers the most is social studies. But science has suffered as well. And so now science is moving up. Reading is still there, but then writing is down. And students, my logic or reasoning with the students for improving writing was, well, you have to read those technical reports, so you have to write. And I know technical writing is different from, you know, writing some of the reports, the types that we were writing, but I was focusing on details in whatever we did so they could learn how to, they could apply that same skill to the STEM courses. So where is writing? You know, do you see, you know, that being incorporated more, or, you know, or is, I don't want to say it's just left out. I mean, because I understand where they're going with STEM. I really do. The students, now we have another subject I feel that's suffering. Not that I wanted science to suffer, but, you know, we need to somehow figure out how to give all these subjects equal weight.
Right. And, you know, my personal experience with STEM was that our first project after I came on board with this was the Rocket Challenge. And so the students, we had parent build nights where we all got together with high school, middle school, and elementary grade students where the parents and families built their rockets. And then, unfortunately, I didn't get to attend because I broke my arm and I 2 days before it happened. But our students actually went to the West Side Trajectory Day where they launched their rockets. But there was a whole writing component that went with that and a poster contest where they had to collaborate and they had to do drafts of what their poster was going to look like until they got the finished product. So, you know, it wasn't necessarily technical writing.
Right. But it was writing. Yeah.
It was,
which I like because I hear a lot about projects but not enough about the writing. So hold on. We've got a question, Billy.
No.
Okay.
Chloe.
Hi, caller. Welcome to the line. You have to the show. You have a question or a comment for our guest?
Yes, just a comment. Mostly that I am so glad that you all are touching on this topic because I do find that very important for students to try to pick up on now because science, especially math, it has gotten lost over the years. And I know me personally, I do wish that I had picked up on it a little bit more. I feel like if we start at a younger age, then that will definitely help. For example, my daughter has a science project. They made ice cream at school, and she thought that was so fun. And I feel like the more, you know, we can incorporate those fun activities, the more students will just gravitate to it because, you know, a lot of people will still think, oh, it's boring or it's too complicated. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I totally disagree with some of the projects that I've seen my daughter do at school, and that's at a toddler age. So great topic, and that's all I really wanted to say.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you calling in.
Thank you.
Thank you. And, you know, the thing it made my heart just glow when I had these students talking about Newton's law and, you know, payloads and all this stuff. And I couldn't see that happening if you just isolation. So the vocabulary, you say about the writing, they have to have the vocabulary to do the writing. But this was firsthand vocabulary on their part. And, you know, from there, they took off. And so our next was the sea perch. And so sea perch is a project connected to STEM, and it is linked with the Navy. And so we had a lot of support from our junior ROTC students. And so actually we did a Skype day with all the schools that were participating. So we all Skyped in with them as we were building our sea perches. So this gave the students, they actually built the sea perches. They got to learn, they learned how to solder. They learned how to do their control board. They built the sea perch. And once again, they had to do the poster contest. They had to do the research. They had to do the writing. They had to do the math. They had to, with the PVC pipe, you know, measure twice, cut once, you know. And so as kids are very precise about this. Once again, I just saw their eyes light up, and I saw the excitement where I wouldn't have seen this kind of excitement from students, you know. And so the sea perch, and if you want to look that up too, it's sea perch, SEAPERCH.org. And so, you know, basically what it is, it's a hands-on educational tool. It's fun. It's challenging. It's a curriculum that meets national learning standards. It integrates science, technology, engineering, and math. It teaches the teachers, and that's one of the things. I'm a lifelong learner. I learned so much from this. I learned from watching the students problem solve. On one of our teams, the teller fell off, and all they had to figure out how to get that propeller to stay back, you know, get back on there. It builds teamwork, and it inspires them. And that's one of the things I find with other things outside of STEM. The students are often learning in isolation, and there's a lot of independent work. And I really like this because of the collaboration, because we are a collaborative society. We need that more. And it also introduces them to STEM careers.
Okay. Well, let's go to this caller here. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. You have a question or a comment?
Oh, yes. Hello, Dr. Washington. And
hi,
hello, Ms. Matthews. Yes, yes. I'm glad there is an emphasis put on science, because a lot of times kids are discouraged from science. It's like they're going to get their tooth pulled or something. But science is really fun. Science is really fun. It is. It's the basis of this society. And a lot of times the kids are, you know, exchange students are coming here, taking a lot of scientific technology, and they're taking it back to their country. So we're really lacking scientists, and they're begging for them. But it's discouraged societally and socially, too. When you show somebody, you know, when you show your skin and you say you're taking science, it's like, ooh, you know, or the really discouraging action or language.
Right.
But I want to ask this, Matthew, the region of your district, what is the racial population? I imagine there's a lot of Mexicans. It's very population.
Absolutely, especially in the neighborhood where I'm at, and I live in this neighborhood, and I choose to live in this neighborhood because it's so important to know them, you know, the children that I teach and be in their proximity. But, a great number of our students and their families are originally from Mexico, and so many of our students are first-generation Americans.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay, because that is a large district. That's a super district.
It is, and it's interesting that it's one large district, whereas in some other places there may be smaller districts or a district with sub-districts, and that's not our case.
Okay, do you feel they still get the same quality education, not like a, you know, like a manufacturer, or you know, when you have something so huge, you become a number instead of an individual student.
And that's one of the reasons why I choose to teach at the school where I teach, because our students are not numbers. You know, we're almost our own. Every little school is almost their own little micro community where everybody has buy-in.
Oh, yes, that is great. Oh, but I think another thing that's a lost art is civics, you know, how the government works and you know, the branches of government. That's a lost art in geography. I mean, well, a lot of people don't even know where their own state is on the map. You know, you give them a map and they can't even identify where their state is.
That was kind of why I gave my introduction and give you some kind of geographic, idea of where I am at, and interesting that you comment on that. You know, with the STEM, we incorporate all subjects. So you talk about civics and geography, and you know, we definitely incorporate that. With in our state, we have Sandia Lab, and we also have Los Alamos Lab, which is a great for. And Los Alamos Lab is where actually the atom bomb was built. We have a lot of science in our state, although not a lot of people view it that way.
Oh, okay. It sure was built there, you know, in that region. You know, as well as you had Roswell too there.
We have Roswell, but that's a different kind of science.
thank you, caller. We appreciate you calling in.
Great show. Thank you.
Well, Billy, do you have anything you'd like to wrap up with before we close out tonight's show?
I do. And one of the things I just wanted to share with you, I don't know if any of the our callers have seen the movie called Spare Parts. But it is a movie. It was actually filmed here in Albuquerque, but it's based on a true story in Carl Hayden Community High School in Phoenix, Arizona. And it's based on the lives of four students and their teacher. And they were a minority school. They were students who were actually not even legal citizens of the United States. They were predicted that they would not succeed in school, that they would actually fail. And they ended up in a class with a teacher who decided to do a STEM project on the sea perch. They went to their regional to the competition. They actually ended up competing against colleges and beat out MIT. So to me, this is one of the success stories of STEM. And, you know, we don't think about, a lot of people might not think about how successful STEM is until they see a movie like this. So if you've not seen the movie Fair Part, I would highly recommend it. And that would give you an idea of what kind of impact STEM education has on students.
Well, thank you so much, Billy. I appreciate it. And actually, for those who are listening and who are on the phone lines, you know, the title, The Many Languages of STEM, Billy came up with that on her own for her topic, and I went with it for the title of the show. But what I appreciate is that you've given me a new perspective on STEM, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners would agree. And so I really appreciate having you on the show today. And, you know, listeners, Billy is one of our writers. If you've enjoyed today's show, you have to read her articles in the Involved Parent magazine. She's been writing with the magazine for a while. I met her a few years ago, and she just does a fantastic job with education and STEM and gifted education. Those are her two passions. And so definitely go online, check out her previous articles, and then look back for check out her upcoming article on November 1st. So thank you again, Billy. We know that you'll be on the show again with us sometime in the future, and we'll explore a topic of STEM or gifted education or both in more detail. Thank you
so much. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you so much. But this concludes our show today, and so we'd like to thank you all for joining us tonight. And again, as mentioned, we want you to check out our upcoming Involved Parent magazine on November the 1st. We have a guest with us next on the 1st. We are still in the process of confirming and making arrangements. She has a great program for young ladies here in the St. Louis area, and she's a transplant from Atlanta. So hopefully she will be able to join us next week. But check back with us next week. Join us. If you love this edition, which was really great edition, a lot of you mentioned you love when there are guests on board, and I do too as well. So definitely listen to the replay and share this show with other people, and also go through the website, and you can click follow, and you will be able to get email reminders when we have the shows coming up. So we look forward to having you join us next week here on the Education for All radio show. Thank you, and enjoy your night.
Never really mattered so much to me.
Never really mattered to me.
It's nothing like a woman who serves the king. Maybe they can all say what they want, but they got nothing on you.
Nothing on you.
So you just keep living your life following Christ, because God's favor on you.